Do you need a ride? Do you have a paper?
Yeah,
because we've got lots of extra.
Good morning.
Hey, Ann, I hate to say this, but I have a sick adult son who I need to take to the doctor.
I'm terribly sorry. Oh, well, I think we're going to probably be done.
In terms of time, because I know we've got this.
I don't think we're going to be, this is not going to be, this is not going to be a long meeting.
Even with the closed session.
Even with the closed session is going to be fast, everything's going to be. This is not a long meeting. Next month is the long meeting. And the month after that, possibly, although the month after that should be, if we do all of our work, you've done this. We do all of our work next month. That will be a long meeting. People should plan on probably a 3-hour meeting.
But you have a backup meeting for next week.
We have a potential for a backup meeting.
Which is maybe a worse nightmare than a long meeting.
I agree.
Most people want to get done. And, you know, I don't think there's anything majorly controversial.
I don't think there is.
And Lynn and I have discussed the CU autism situation, and we are kicking that can down the road. It has been going on for so long that we don't need to do.
Recording in progress.
No. So we're kicking it down the road to either July. If we have a June meeting, we can do it in June. If we don't have a June meeting, we'll do it in July.
Lynn, can you hear me?
I can. Hi, Stephanie. We're almost ready, y'all. We've got a lot of people on Zoom.
Too bad.
It has a good look. I know.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we have roll call? Who's going to do roll call? Stephanie?
I'll get it started. Okay. Neil Sharma.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Kim Fisher. Diane Gordon is online, so not quite here yet. And Ann Robin.
Here. Okay, so the next item will be to, Kim Fisher is now here. Okay. The next item will be to approve.
No.
Diane Gordon participation online. Do we need a motion? Yes.
I move to approve Diane participating online.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Diane, you're officially in. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope you have a good recovery. So the next item is approval of the agenda.
Moved to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Schedules and timeline. Citizen input. Is there any citizen input at this time? Chairperson's comments. I don't have much comments as usual. Thank you to all the staff for your hard work at this time and to the agencies for your hard work. This meeting, I'm anticipating, will be a relatively brief meeting. We will stay focused and we can have any discussion that's needed, but not too much today. Next month, we anticipate, will be a long meeting, so please prepare for that. I'm anticipating 3 hours, so hopefully we can get done in 3 hours. If we can do that, then we don't have to have a meeting the following week. If it looks like it's going to go too long, then we will have a meeting the following week, because the next month is when we discuss all of the requests for funding. Then in May, we should have a relatively easy meeting because we've already pretty much thought about everything, discussed everything, and we just make it formal. There may be a few more questions to answer, but mostly things should go fairly smoothly. That's my plan. We'll see how that works out. So those are my only... Oh, the other thing is the CU Autism Network request. We're postponing the discussion of that until after we do our funding requests in April and May. So either in June, if we do have a June meeting, if we don't have a June meeting, then in July. So we'll have time to think about it back and forth and then have our final discussion in July. We do have to have a meeting in July. It's the annual meeting. It's the only meeting that's really required by law.
I have no audio.
So we
Stephanie,
have
to.
So I can't
hear you,
like
though.
Hear the meeting or participate. So
Stephanie, we can hear you.
Stephanie can't hear us.
No. Okay. I muted her. Okay. So we'll. I'm not sure what's going on with her computer, but okay.
Computers.
Yes.
Okay, those are my only comments. Thank you very much. Lynn?
Thank you, Anne. This is good. This does need to be a fairly brief meeting, but happily we don't have a lot of business. We have some really fun discussion items, but you can always just linger over those, you know, when you're sitting out in the sun and you just want to read, like not a screen, but like paper. Some really fun information in this packet that I was actually really excited about. What is also in this packet that you'll probably notice is things look really different right now. We are trying to fully meet the ADA standards in time and then also going back so that everything that's relevant to our work currently is also compliant with the ADA standards. But sometimes we're finding like some of the formatting isn't as pretty as we'd like, and it's hard to include charts without really being careful about how you do it. So this packet is missing some of the visuals we were trying to provide up until last month, but it's exciting. We're learning, and we'll get there. Okay. And I think that's it for me. Okay.
Okay, the next item is approval of the meeting minutes, pages 5 to 13. January and February, or January meeting and February discussion.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
This is Kim.
If we weren't here for the February discussion, should we withhold a vote? Or I was here for January, but not February.
February was not an official meeting. We did not have a quorum on February. So it's really totally unofficial. So January was the official meeting, and yours truly missed that one. So any more discussion?
Just for the January meeting, I was online. So I don't know if that, but it's not noted in the minutes. So I don't know if that is needed to be noted or not.
But you were present.
There's a whole section about moving to allow remote attendance for you. So I think it's covered. Well, that's a nice detail I hadn't even thought of. But there it is. February?
So the reason I noticed, because I think it lists Diane is online and present in February. Maybe I misread it.
Well, in...
Or remote. So that's why I was like, oh, should I also be listed as remote? But, it's no big deal. That's the only
I think that, maybe so. But in this case, this was to show that we didn't have a quorum because the quorum has to be present in the room. It's a little tricky, but, yeah, maybe we'll go one way or the other in the future. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, the next item is the vendor invoice list, pages 15 to 18. And this is a new format, and I must say that it is actually not difficult for me to read. It's clear. Thank you.
Yeah, move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, I didn't. There's so much going on.
It was Neil and Susan.
Neil moved and Susan seconded. And okay, I'm sorry. And then did it a voice vote?
Could you let people in when they ask to be admitted?
That would help. Okay. I can do this part.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item is staff reports. Again, thank you very much for your reports. Any comments from the board?
I feel like I attended the NACO and NACBID, however you say the meetings. So I only feel a little bad that you spent so much time possibly writing them up, but it was very informative. Thank you.
Do you want to know why I do that?
Sure.
Because a long time ago, one of the county board chairs said, you know, you can't spend all this money going places and not give us back something. Mm-hmm. And so I can bring you back all the pretty brochures that these organizations make, but, then I'm traveling with extra stuff. And I'm taking notes anyway, so it's just very long. I think the real time-consuming thing is trying to summarize. I'm just so bad at it. So if you can handle 48 pages once a year.
Whatever makes you happy.
So this is Kim. Lynn, I don't remember you reporting meeting with Durbin and Duckworth before. Have you done that? I remember these reports. So the legislative conference or whatever, it was depressed. Like, it was very sad. Like, a lot of that information was sad, especially, like, the hospital closing stuff that they – I mean, it just seems like we're on a cliff.
We are.
Yeah, that is just – I mean, and this was – you wrote this a while ago. February, right. And so, like, a lot of the things that are coming up, like, just now, I think is really heart-wrenching. The other, I think you, there was something about the AI at the mid-county meeting that was discussed, which I thought was interesting, and the county just had that database discussion. So I just wanted to, was there any discussion about data centers? Was there any discussion about the impact of data centers on communities, water? Because it seemed to, what I was reading was like, yeah, hey, we got to get on board with this generative AI. Yeah. It'll make our work more efficient without, so I misinterpreted what
no,
I read.
No, that okay. Some people are promoting. I mean, some of these folks are selling products. You can kind of tell. But some are county officials who are excited about products because it might help to meet some of the staffing needs. But I would also agree that that's a month ago. And I think we're already seeing that where people were laid off in favor of AI, it's not working, and they're trying to bring people back. So I, like with everything else in government, I say don't be the first one. But at nearly every NACO session, they talked about AI and data centers and cybersecurity. At only one did they talk about ADA compliance, and everyone was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a big deal. But, like, they didn't want to talk about it. They're excited about AI because it might help. They're excited about data centers, which might give short-term revenue relief. There's a quite good friend of mine who I've served on the health committee with for about 12 years, is the chair of the county board in Loudoun County, Virginia. And she said during that mid-sized meeting, she said, before you do a data center, talk to me because we went first. We have more data centers than any other county in the country. We know what to do and what not to do. So at 4 in the morning, I sent an introductory email between her and the director of planning and zoning because, he's got to have these conversations now. So anyway, yeah, her warning is like if they're not done, we'll have rolling blackouts. So somebody's got to do them. But how do you do them without destroying your community? So I'm glad you brought that up.
Since we have a little time for discussion, I want to direct your attention to page 27. This one caught my eye. In support of ensuring parents' rights in health decisions, including vaccine requirements, I had to read this about three times before I could really figure out what was going on, because it's got all this newspeak in it. And there's all these code words like parents' rights. But when you see that, you go, okay, what's going on? This was, Lynn, do you want to just speak to this real briefly? We talked about it the other day.
I got to practice being brief. I'm going to have to get some kind of training program. I didn't really know what was going on here. People were really hot. This is the only proposal that didn't go out of, that didn't pass out of committee. And
that caught my eye too.
People were mad, and they were mad from both directions.
Yeah.
But it was two directions. It was public health officials saying, "Please no," and I think she was from Hawaii, maybe, Hawaii or Florida, advocating on behalf of parental control of vaccines. And so that just immediately went into misinformation, and people are in that committee are still really hurt by misinformation around COVID vaccinations. And now the new, Secretary of Health and Human Services is also raising fears about vaccines that we thought were long ago put to bed. So this one got people going. And the conversation didn't make sense, and I didn't let the notes really make sense either. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
That was not what I meant in my comment. There's so much newspeak. You know, if you say something like, "This is about parental control," you know, it's like, well, what's wrong with that? Okay, now we have to dig a little bit deeper. So I think my comment is, when you read things, you have to dig deeper and say, oh, that sounds like a good thing. Like AI data centers, sounds like it's going to make our jobs easier. Sounds like a good thing. Dig deeper. Find out more information. And I thought this was a good example of a brief summary, actually. Lynn, it was not long to read. It was just hard to read because it's like, okay, what are they saying here? But what they're saying is not requiring vaccinations. And this body said, yes, we want to continue requiring vaccinations because it's for the public good.
Yeah. It's not individual
care. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. It's not DD specific, but our DD population is very vulnerable, so we should be paying attention to this.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about this in the Public Health Board yesterday, and how it is connected, I would say, to DD is a lot of the fears apparently are concerns about their child developing autism. Mm-hmm. So that kind of misinformation, yeah.
Well, and that is a very definite connection. That is the fear, which has been completely debunked for decades now, but old ideas don't die, evidently.
And also dehumanizes autistic people.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. That they shouldn't exist.
Yeah, it enforces the stigma against people living with autism and families with family members that have autism, as if it's a preventable condition. If you just hadn't vaccinated your child would not be needing these social services, which is very harmful. So we'll put that in the public record.
Yes. There's also, there's a theme across almost all these sessions, like they're all different topics, but just there is a return to dehumanizing people and blaming them for things that clearly are the system failing. So the new narrative is to point to fraud. So I'm sure you're hearing that. So it's Yeah, it's all over the place. So I think the one thing that we can do about that, and that most of us know how to do, is to work on challenging the stigma. Like, we've got a lot of experience with that, so keep that going.
Just one more thing. I just want to reiterate what Susan said. I mean, the whole packet was great, as usual, so thank you to everyone. And just, like, it did take me a while to get through this, but it was well worth it because it just gave me a real nice picture of all the different workings of what's happening. So thank you very much. Yeah.
I think also, so you noticed the meeting with the senators, Duckworth and Durbin, and he was the last to leave the room, and I was the last to leave the room, and he said, I'm going to be in Champaign on Friday, and I said, for the Michigan game, and I said, Muckfish again. It just came out of my mouth. So I didn't leave that in the notes, but... And you know, one time I spilled coffee on the Obama White House floor, so I've got the... Washington is dangerous.
Anything else on staff reports? Okay, thank you very much for these excellent reports. We didn't specifically acknowledge Kim Bowdery's report either. We should do that.
It's coming up.
Okay, all right. New business, special election. The bylaws are included as background. Since our previous president resigned because she moved to Colorado, we need a special election. And since I wasn't here in January, we didn't do it in January, so we're going to do it now. So,
would you like a nomination?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'd like to nominate you.
Second.
And I have already accepted the nomination. Thank you. I will continue to accept.
Do we have to vote? All those in favor?
Close the nominations.
Okay. Now my competence is being called into question. I don't know how to do this. Okay.
Call
any
the
other nominations for president of the board? Diane? I don't hear her.
Can you say it one more time? I couldn't hear what you said.
Any other nominations other than myself and Robin?
No.
Okay, then I guess we are ready to vote. There's no money involved, so we can just do all in favor.
Aye.
Okay. Well, I didn't say any opposed. And do we also need to elect the secretary, or did we already do that? We need to elect the secretary. Now, the secretary is a strange name because you don't actually have to take minutes. We have wonderful staff people who do that. The secretary is really the vice chair, vice president, and would step in if the president is not available to serve in terms of running the meetings and also in terms of signing things, because one of the roles that the president does is signing various agreements and documents that have already been discussed or agreed by the board if necessary or negotiated by the staff. So there's a lot of signing involved. That's about it. And then the vice president would do that if the president is not available. So do we have nominations for vice president or secretary, as in the bylaws? I would like to nominate Neil Sharma.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Neil, are you willing to serve?
I am.
Are there any other nominations for this position? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By acclamation.
Good job.
So I think that is really all of the action items for this meeting, and the rest of it is all good discussion. We have the applications for program year 2027, program year 2025 service activity data. I personally miss those charts, but hey, you know,
we'll get them back.
Whatever. Any comments about either one of those? I want to draw the board's attention to page 71, which is our assignments for which programs we are going to be responsible for. If your initials are first, that means you're the primary reviewer. If your initials are second, you're the secondary reviewer. It is perfectly okay for two board members to talk to each other, either in person, on the phone, or by email. We cannot have three or more board members having a discussion outside of this meeting because that violates the Open Meetings Act, but the two reviewers, it's perfectly okay to ask each other questions, make comments, and come to a consensus so that one of you can then present what you're going to present. Typically, when we go through these reviews, we are fairly concise in terms of how we discuss the programs, but hit the high points.
Anne?
Yes.
I've read most of the proposals now, and they're really very clear and succinct. And if there are questions, they're pretty obvious so far. So this is, I don't know, I think the process has really improved over the years, the application process.
And I want to thank you for that because you were very much involved in getting this system together because I was involved in it before you reorganized it, and it was kind of a nightmare, and this is really good.
And I just have a quick question. Do you anticipate, should we like target a certain amount of time for when we're like kind of leading a discussion about a proposal?
Well, I don't want to, you know, put a limit on you, but 3 minutes, maybe. I mean, you can hit the high points in that amount of time and then have more discussion if needed. But you don't need to repeat things that everybody already kind of knows.
Okay. Just because Diane hasn't done it before, just so.
Although it is on the public record, so the things that need to be on the public record, it's good to have them in there.
You can ask, if there are questions that you have too, we can try to handle them before the review or after. If there are complicated questions that you want the agencies to answer, we can be the middleman and bring you that in the next packet, or if there's not time during the review. But I think the agencies will be here to answer questions if they're easy ones or short ones.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to be, you know, the time monster and, you know, keep everything short, because we do want to have substantive discussion. But we don't want to do the kind of thing that we did back in the old days where somebody raised a major question during the meeting that nobody had had a chance to think about at all, and then it was a big kerfuffle. And I was guilty of that one time, so I know how that goes.
I want to add that I think that it's appropriate for the process to change as the times change and the board members change and the agencies too. Like, we can't, you know, maybe next year we can't do things the same way for other reasons. But I think it's good when we keep tweaking it.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm focusing on, you know, how it works for us as board members, but I also want to respect the agencies and the work that they do. And when they have comments about the whole process, how it's working for them, I think we should be open to that too. Okay, old business, emerging threats. Kim, you usually lead that. I don't know how to, yeah. Sure, this will be a good time to do that.
And she should do it because she can go faster.
Hey, Kim, you want to give context to the memo?
Sure. Good morning. So the program year 2025 service activity data memo, it is the every claim that was entered for TPCs into the online reporting system. So at the end of each program year, I pull down all of the claims and sort those by program, by agency, by program, by client, and then I am able to provide you all with an overview of how each program served clients during that specific program year. So I can show, I'm able to show you how people accessed each of the programs, how many hours. I don't do that for every client, obviously. Some of these programs have over 10,000 claims that are entered throughout these program years. So agencies with multiple programs, they're spending a lot of time entering this this data. And so I want to thank them publicly for taking the time, because then we are able to look at this take this view at how the programs that the DD board funds are used, and it I think it shows an impact on what you all are doing and what the agencies are doing. I sort it by agency, program, client. I'm able to see any overlap in services, which the agencies do a really, really great job of making sure that people are not, taking the DSC Community Employment Program and taking the Community Choices Customized Employment Program and, you know, getting support from everybody. So they do a really great job of making sure that people aren't over-served. And then I take the information and I give you an overview of a few specific clients and how they are using the programs and how many hours of service they are taking from the programs throughout the year. And then I have at the very end, I have one specific client since we began entering these claims, or since the agencies began entering these claims, and it shows how this person has used the services from the beginning of the claim system, or the beginning of the claim system. So, and you can see how their services have changed. And this is a person who is getting a little bit older. So you see, you know, some programs they've gotten a few less hours in, and then some programs they're using those programs a little bit more. And so I just think it's a really nice look at how the programs are being utilized by the people that the agencies are serving.
Thank you, Kim, and I totally agree. This is very, very interesting and fun to read, actually.
Thank you. And I'm sorry for no charts. As Lynn mentioned earlier, that was a challenge that I didn't have the capacity to make sure those were accessible at this point in time. So maybe
That's
next
fine.
Year we'll be able to get those charts back in there.
I just wanted to say that it really does make this whole process far more transparent. When I think about trying to get data 10 years ago, it just wasn't possible to find out what person, an exemplar person, I mean, this is not every person, obviously, it's one, what the services looked like over time. And it's extremely helpful to see, because it shows that they really are somewhat individualized, if not fully individualized, given the changes that happen. And I truly appreciate it. I doubt that many agencies can do this.
This is this is my favorite thing of the year. I wish we could do more of it, but it really is. And it's a lot of time for the agencies and for Kim, and actually some troubleshooting from the developer too. But there are some things in here that I think are, the timing of this report is really helpful because you can actually see how much money you spent on each program and how many hours per program. And there are adjustments in there. When we have those audits, we can correct the total amounts that were paid so that you can get a really accurate idea of what a program costs per hour or per person. And in the past, we've compared this with state rates and found they're quite comparable. We're not paying ridiculous amounts for these services. So, and there, some of the services are not exactly comparable with state services anyway. But I think that's really helpful for right now as you're about to look at applications and ask questions like, is this program worth it? So. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments about this report? Thank you for this. This is very good. Okay, emerging threats. Kim, do you have any highlights?
I really don't have any highlights right now.
Read it and weep.
Yeah, sorry.
Input for people from people with IDD. Anybody want to come forward today? Engage Illinois update.
In the form of a memo.
Oh, we do. Okay, we have a memo.
2 pages. So it's quick.
The last 2 pages.
Yeah. Oh.
97, 98.
Directing your attention to pages 97 and 98.
The literal end of the packet.
At the very end of the packet. Please direct your attention there.
So really what this was is just continuing this, like we still really don't know where we're headed with this thing, but that's okay because it's important to make sure that we're headed in a direction that makes sense for the people it's about. So we did get some feedback from advocates at 2 agencies, at both DSC and Community Choices, who tend to be the people that come and talk to you in September. Just about what they feel ready for and what they think of these ideas. And, you know, it wasn't like, love it, it's perfect. It was more like, yeah, we can work with some of this. So, you know, our next steps, I think, would just be, and obviously, like, right now, y'all are quite preoccupied with application review, but next steps could be to just show up at a county board meeting. We know the times of their meetings and when they want materials. If there's somebody who's interested in doing that with one of us, we could go together and just say, hi, this is what we're working on. This is what we think is important. But getting more input from folks will also help us shape the message. So just wanted to let you know where we're at. Anyway.
Thank you for that.
So, Lynn, I would love to partner with you and whoever on this project. So.
Do we have an update on Engage Illinois?
Only that we're having consistent phone calls and planning, but nothing that really yet impacts downstate. So I'm monitoring and adding information where I can, but nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So this is Kim. I think, wasn't there like a witness slip earlier this week? That was, yeah,
around community-based services. Yeah.
Disability Resource Expo and AIR updates.
Probably want that evaluation capacity project first.
Oh. I'm sorry, I missed evaluation. I was looking down, my glasses didn't allow me. This ADA compliant thing is a little harder for me to read. I'm surprised.
I know.
I'm surprised.
It really is.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. So I'm Jacinda Dariotis. I lead the evaluation capacity building project with a great team, including Nate and Rachel. And so I'm here to represent our updates for this month. This month, we've been working really closely with our three technical assistance programs and are finalizing surveys for them to measure the outcomes that they think are really necessary to show the impact and effects of their programs. So several of them will be launching those within the next month or two within their agencies and programs. So we're really excited about getting them through that process of developing their surveys with the outcome measures that they need. And that was after we had developed with them their logic model, so they knew what they needed to measure and what they're wanting to measure short-term, intermediate, and long-term. So it's really exciting to see them get through that whole process. We are also continuing to work with our working group. So if anyone wants to join our working group, they are more than welcome to join the working group. This working group is several of the programs and agency representatives who give us feedback in real time on a monthly basis about the different workshops, micro-learnings, and other trainings that we've been developing so that we make sure that it's relevant to agencies. We do refer back to our needs assessment that we had conducted several years ago to make sure we're consistent with that, but also to assess any emerging needs. And so later this spring and early summer, we'll be hosting an in-person session talking about what is an evaluation plan, how does one develop one, and then really focusing in on how does one create their own survey in terms of programming it in softwares that are low cost and highly scalable and sustainable for those programs and agencies. So agencies and programs can stay tuned for when that's going to be scheduled for. We're going to try not to conflict with other competing demands. We are also working on our annual report, which I know you're just, you know, on the edge of your seat to be reading. So that will be due on April 30th, and then we will present that, if time allows, during the May meeting. And if it doesn't allow for the May meeting, we would present that to you all in a subsequent meeting. And so those are our major ticket items. We do have a micro-learning underway that's in process and production. We're trying to finalize it and polish it, and then we can show that in a future meeting. So. And we appreciate all the support and from the boards, from agencies and programs. And if there's anything that anyone needs, they can always reach out to us in between these sessions so that we can make sure that we're responsive and learning about what everyone needs.
Thank you very much. All right, if I'm reading this correctly, Disability Resource Expo and AI are updates. Lynn?
So we had an expo planning group, this very small group, yesterday. And Jacinda took notes. Thank you, Jacinda. And the first thing I think we need to do is develop a message to share with you all and with the public and the steering committee and the volunteers and the exhibitors of just where we're at right now, and just to let them know that this is a year of reflection. And we talked a lot about one of the people in that group last time we met had a lot of ideas for smaller scale events that he thought would be meaningful and doable. And so we kind of picked up from that and had some fun brainstorming around that. But so maybe even in spring of 2027, we tend to avoid spring, but we won't need to avoid spring next year because next year we won't have an Ebertfest. And now I'm shifting into the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect update. That group has typically been really focused on the Ebertfest because we get a very high-profile art show out of it and also a lot of opportunity to advertise, you know, the anti-stigma messaging and some of the partners who've been part of that. So, you know, and then there's some momentum after that, too. So this will be the last one. And for this last one, I went through and I'm just deleting inactive members and inviting people who maybe are closer to the message of anti-stigma to be part of it just for the one last blast. So it's been kind of fun, like kind of rethinking it just for this one time. But the films and the art shows will be April 17 and 18. Kind of horrible timing for some of our artists who are actually selling their work in the community and they have a big show the week before. So that's good. Like, people don't maybe need our art show all the time. They got their own, so yay. Anyway, that's it. I mean, I could talk longer, but there's other stuff to talk about.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, successes and other agency information.
Hi, I'm Becca with Community Choices. I had just a couple quick things to share. The first was we held our annual meeting about 2 weeks ago on March 10th, and we had, I think, about 55 people there. It was a really lovely evening. We had some great conversations about focusing specifically on kind of what makes us a cooperative and the ways that we can kind of continue to support that by, as an organization, supporting our members to support each other. So we had a lot of engagement, a lot of really great ideas came out of that meeting. It's something we look forward to every year, which was, so it went really well. The other thing I just wanted to talk about was the Speak Out group that we've been hosting in addition to our human rights and advocacy group. This is more of a drop-in, like lunch, sort of more informal advocacy group. And I just wanted to share like that next month they kind of chose like, well, what kind of topics do we want to talk about? And they chose invasive species. And so I just thought that that was a really interesting and lovely kind of reminder that people with disabilities care about all sorts of different issues and not necessarily just things that affect them because they are somebody who experiences a disability. And so they're going to be, I don't know, talking about how to get rid of honeysuckle and things, which I thought was just really great. Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Patty with BSC. Just a couple of things. Because it needs to be green when you talk. So red means stop, so you can cut me off if you want to. So anyway, I'm Patty at DSC. Thank you. A couple of things I wanted to mention is earlier, the advocates have been really busy at DSC as well. The Spread the Word campaign was earlier this month. They had tables set up at Salt and Light, and there were several people there to really talk about language, as that's become kind of a hot topic again in the last year and a half or so. With some backward steps. And so there were about 30 people that happened upon the table that took the pledge, and that was a really successful event where they had some great interaction with others. They've also spoken to a high school class. The first week in April, they'll be talking to a class at the U of I, and then in early May, there's a handful of people that are scheduled to attend the They Deserve More Day in Springfield with some staff support. So I do want to highlight that one of the things that this board does is allow for us to pay advocates when they go on speaking engagements, which is to me really important and shows the inclusion and equity. And it's that doesn't necessarily increase interests, but they're being paid for what they're doing, and that's really important. The other thing is just a reminder that April 10th through the 12th, the Crow is one of the host sites for the Boneyard Arts Festival. So if you've not happened upon the Crow, it's a great venue. It's a wonderful day or weekend to appreciate art from around the community. And then just a success story. I have a few people that are attending another training today and so aren't here to speak to it, but we have a gentleman that recently was living in an unsafe environment. He was in his own apartment. He was concerned. Mom was concerned. We considered it an emergency placement based on the circumstances he was living in. So he has recently moved into another apartment with support from the community living program. He also has a job, so he's now getting services through community employment. But one of the things that he was experiencing was, in addition to the safety concerns, was some isolation, which is often happens when people are living on their own. So now kind of working with our resource coordinator, which is funded through our clinical program, too, by DDB, just to get that kind of relationship building and friendship. So that what became like one need has turned into kind of a wraparound of services, and that's, you know, really due to your support and several programs that are kind of having an impact on his life. So it's been a fun one to kind of see him grow and evolve in just a few short months. So I thought that was worth sharing today. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online? Okay, County Board, input, anything?
Sure, just a quick update from me. In our last meeting, we talked about finally starting to implement WCAG website accessibility guidelines. We're probably behind schedule on getting those implemented, but it has been acknowledged and we're starting the work. I also wanted to say that I really like the layout of the packet for the meeting, and I'm going to see if there's anything I can do about starting to get county board agendas also in an accessible format, because this looks great. Thank you.
Yes.
Maybe Jenny Lakshin, I don't know if you have any power over this, but I love the people upstairs who work on this stuff for you. If they wanted to work on it together, it'd be fun for me. So anyway.
Yeah, I will. I'll talk to Megan and see if there's anything we can get started.
Thank you for that. Mental Health Board input.
They met last week, similar content, and they actually have a study session tonight, which is, I think, going to be pretty cool. The packet is in full color. Jealous much, but also the presentations are super positive. It's about a program that they're newly funding that has existed for a long time but is doing new things, and then a brand new project of Rosecrans, which might be interesting for y'all. It's the certified community behavioral health clinic model that they have federal and state funding for. So I've waited a long time to hear about it. Tonight's the night.
Would people in this room be welcome to attend that? It's open to the public, and it's at what time?
5:45, and it's also on Zoom. Yeah.
Where do we find the Zoom?
I could just email it to you. That'd make it really easy, wouldn't it? Okay.
Lynn, would you please email the Zoom link to our board? Thank you. I would be interested in that. Board announcements. Okay, then I think we're ready for our trek to the closed session. So this meeting is essentially, as far as the public part, is over. We're going to go into closed session to deal with some minutes from previous closed sessions. Dr. Sharma and I were excluded from these meetings in the past. I'm told by Lynn that we are no longer excluded. We are allowed to participate. I was surprised to get this in the mail because I had been excluded before. So we're going to go into another room, have a closed session. We will then come back into this room and adjourn this meeting. So I really don't think there's any further discussion unless somebody has something that they want to bring forward before we go into closed session. Well, I thank you all for your participation today, and especially thank you to the agencies for your excellent work, not only taking care of the clients, which of course you do, but helping us to understand in a numerical way and in a personal way the work that you do. It makes our job much easier, and thank you very much.
Gosh, I turned it off when I meant to turn it off. At the bottom of page 3 on your agenda, there's a motion. Kim Bowdry's not here, so you don't need to name her. So if someone wants to make that motion and then someone else seconds, then we'll do a roll call, and then we'll go into the closed session, and then I'll tell you what we do in there.
I move that we go into closed session.
Second.
Could you read all the legal stuff there.
I move that we enter into closed session for a semi-annual closed session minutes review pursuant to 5 ILCS 120-2C21. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Developmental Disability Board and Executive Director Canfield.
Second,
and we have to have a roll call to go into closed session.
Yeah, and Diane is still with us, but she can't go into closed session, but she can vote on this. So I'll start. Neil Sharma.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Susan Fowler.
Yes.
Diane Gordon.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Okay, we are leaving this room, going to the Putman room next.
It's the Roots that did the disability expo, right? Is that their last name? Root?
Not Root. Boot.
What is it?
Boot.
Boot. You and that is why I did not do it, because I couldn't think of their names. And I wanted to publicly acknowledge
them. Never too late. Never too late to praise those people.
Yeah. They're amazing. Probably acknowledge.
their work because they did a huge amount of boot. And that's why I didn't do it because I couldn't think of their names.
Do that before, once you go. So we're back. It is 9:55. We're back in the Shields Carter room, and I think we need a motion to call this meeting back to order.
I so moved. Kim.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And now a roll call because you were in a different
new roll.
Okay. A new roll call. Anne Robin.
Here.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Lynn, your microphone is not on.
Oh, no. Okay, I just did a roll call. Everybody's here, but Diane Gordon, we agreed at 9:55 a.m. Kim Fisher moved, Neil Sharma seconded that we reopen this meeting, and I did the roll call. And now we're ready for more action.
Okay, so now we need, and I will move to accept the February 19, 2020, February 26, 2020, July 21, 2021, February 23, 2022, September 18, 2024, February 19, 2025, and October 22, 2025, closed session minutes as presented, and to open them to the public record.
I second.
Do we need a roll call or can we just vote?
I think we can. I'm not sure, but let's do a roll call just in case.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's voice vote or roll call, but
okay.
Abundance of caution. Okay. Kim Fisher seconded. All right, roll call. Anne Robin.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Neil Sharma.
Yes.
Susan Fowler.
Yes.
And Diane Gordon is gone. Okay. The motion passes.
All right. I think that is all of the public meeting. Other than I want to publicly thank the Boots. And Lynn, would you please state their full names for the public record?
That's Allison Boot and Dylan Boot.
Allison and Dylan Boot for their longtime excellent service with the Developmental Disability Expo. They did a fabulous job. It's a thankless job, and I want to thank them publicly for doing this. And can we send them a letter of recognition from the board?
Yeah.
Okay. Something
really nice,
frameable possibly. I don't know. They deserve something.
Okay.
Let's think about that.
Yeah, I love that. Okay.
Discretion of the staff as to what to send them. You've got a certain amount of money that you can spend without us approving it.
For this kind of thing. Yes, you can do that.
Any further discussion about that acclamation?
Just thank you for, yeah, thank you. Anne.
That's cool. Okay, got it.
Do I need a motion to adjourn the meeting or can I just adjourn the meeting?
You can just adjourn.
Adjourn.
Recording stopped.